I am sitting here tonight with Aubrey, the founder of RoboSaints Paranormal Dossier. Welcome.
Hey, how are we doing tonight?
Good, thanks. So paranormal investigating. What made you decide that that's what you wanted to do?
Well, I've had several paranormal activities or events happen to me throughout my life. And then I've just had a curiosity from there that stemmed also from the all the paranormal TV shows that I've seen and different sci-fi programs and movies and horrors and stuff like that. So it all stems from that.
Okay. Now, do you find, I know ghosts and spirits and afterlife used to be such a taboo subject, but now with all the investigative shows and the internet, do you find that people are more open to speak about it, to talk about it than they were maybe even say 15 years ago?
Definitely. I do think there is a part of, and I mean, I don't know how much correlation there is, but I mean, as we've gone and grown as a country here in the United States, you've seen kind of a decline in religious values. And in that decline, you have seen more acceptance of those types of things. So I don't know if it's just more it just becoming more of like a theology, and people are when you watch the ancient Roman shows and stuff where they're talking about the Greek and Roman gods, and back then they would not have talked about it the way that we talk about them now. And I think that could be part of it on that end of it's becoming more of a
Social acceptance.
Not social acceptance per se. Like, it's definitely more socially acceptable now to talk about it. But it's more of, oh, did you, look at the Paranormal Activity movies. When you have stuff like that coming out, or even, like I said, all the, we have what, Ghost Adventurers, the Ghost Hunters, the, you know what I mean? There's, I can't even count how many different paranormal hunting shows that we have now. So it's becoming more of a mainstream, blown up profession to be ghost hunting. And through that, you have, obviously, because it's now more in the media, it's more of a topic of, subject of talking about. And
Now, do you find when you are watching, do you watch the paranormal shows?
I do, well, not as much anymore. I definitely did when I was a kid growing up. One of my personal favorites was the Ghost Hunters, and it definitely the first few seasons of the Ghost Hunters. I truly enjoyed their style of debunk first, confirm after,
Okay.
and that's the way I try to run my investigations. It's debunk first, confirm after. So if I cannot find a logical, a scientific, a reasonable explanation for something, then we can move to paranormal.
Okay, that makes sense. So now when you do watch the few or the couple that you do watch, is it harder for you to be more entertained? Do you watch with a closer eye? Do you try to debunk the noises, the
Oh,
situations?
definitely. And it was even brought up. I don't know how much I should talk about it on the Ghost Hunters, but on the Ghost Hunters itself, they were talking about, and this goes for all mainstream paranormal shows, they're literally paid for reactions. Because a show's not interesting if you sit there for 8 hours and you find nothing. No one wants to watch a half hour of that. No one wants to watch an hour of that. It's boring. And there are a lot of nights when you go out and you do an investigation. You could be there all night, all weekend, all week. And sometimes the activity is just not there. It could be the most haunted spot in the world, that doesn't mean it's active 24/7.
So what you're saying is the best thing to do is to go to the same spot several different times, different hours, different time periods. So that way maybe you'll get different reactions, maybe responses.
Right. That is one thing that is kind of, and this goes for almost every paranormal investigator. Now, there is a part of that on some locations, it's almost impossible to get reoccurring. You know, it's either too expensive or because they're not public, they're not, you know, it's privately owned tourist attractions. So to get that space for yourself on a constant basis is almost impossible.
That makes sense.
But yes, the more you go to a location, the higher probability you have of getting some type of activity. You know, and that's what is it? They said here in 2020, the paranormal reported paranormal activity in homes has gone up 200% this year. And the biggest part of that is people are now home on a more consistent basis. They're not at work for 8 hours a day and then going out, and it's everybody's stuck at home. So again, you're at home on a consistent basis. Obviously nobody is actually investigating, or not many are investigating, you know, in their own home during the, you know, but
they're noticing more activity.
Right. And it's because they're home more consistently.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. That definitely makes sense. Now, when you go out on investigations, are you the same way mentally as far as, okay, if we find anything we need to debunk? Are you more on the, not the skeptic side, but more of the, oh gosh, I hope we find something. I hope we hear the voice. I hope it tells us.
Oh yeah, no, I always hope to find something. Like, that is the whole, that's the end goal of any paranormal investigation, is you want to come home with that EVP or the, you know, the picture or the video, the ghost, you know, you want something to come through. Because if you go and film for 8 hours and you get nothing, it was like that was just a waste of time. Now, while going in, I don't go to an investigation with, you know, every little bump and creak and crack and, you know, it's, oh, that's a ghost, oh, that's a ghost, oh, that's a ghost. It, you know, it's like, oh, is that just the house settling? Is that a, you know, maybe an animal running by? Or, you know, when you try to figure out what things could be first and try to come up with logical or reasonable explanations for something first, then you go through. Mm-hmm. So, like, you hear rustling in the bushes. Check the bush. Maybe there's an animal in the bush. If there's no animal in the bush, there's no wind outside, or then you can, you know, kind of, you cut down the probabilities. Okay, no animal, no wind. Then what's the force on the bush? So on and so forth.
I have to tell you, if I'm outside investigating and there's a noise in the bush, I am not checking it to see if there's an animal. Like, you better hope there's a long stick somewhere or somebody's with me, because they're going to have to go check it out. I am not going to go near a bush and have a little hang pop out and grab mine, or have a little something jump up and scare the bejesus out of me. I'm not brave. I'm not brave at all.
Well, it definitely happens. You go in, you check a bush, and, you know, a squirrel or something comes running out of the bush. It's definitely a terrifying moment, but it's a little on the double side there of, it's kind of nice to be like, okay, so there was something in the bush. That's what was making the noise. But then at the same time, you're kind of like, ah, oh, it was just a squirrel. So
I don't think during the middle of the night in a haunted house or a haunted location, just a squirrel, it's not going to happen with me. It's just, I don't even know if I can get down the stairs to a basement. I'm telling you, I'm very much a chicken when it comes to this. Even though I've had experiences my entire life, I really have to trust the person I'm with. So with that being said, now it's kind of become like the thing on paranormal shows to use like the Ouija board, the spirit boards, the... Is that something that you've used or you plan on using?
No, I've never used a spirit board, and I do not ever plan on using one. Like I said, due to previous paranormal experiences in my life and the hundreds of testimonies of experiences that I've heard from people that have used Ouija boards or spirit boards, or, you know, it's just not something that I would like to take the risk. It doesn't seem worth it to me to try to connect to the other side in that way. Plus, I try to stay away from items that can't be logically explained. And that is one of those items that it's, oh, well, someone's pushing it, or someone set up, or it's magnets, or it's... And it's very hard to prove the authenticity of using a spirit board. So it's like the risk / you know, faking problem of it just doesn't seem worth it in using that device as a...
No, that's understandable. Now, like me myself, I've used the spirit boards and I've had scary, horrific experiences. And I always say I never use one again. But like nowadays I catch myself using the pendulum. And I know in my head it's the same concept. It's the same asking for my spirit guide, asking for to come and guide me, to come answer my questions and work with me. And I think in my head I feel like if I'm asking my spirit guide, my grandmother, to come through, that it's not the same as like the Ouija board, to where anything can come through. Like I feel I have a little bit more control over, but I think I'm just telling myself that. So I,
right, and that's the theory of the spirit board or any type of device like that, is when you're calling out to the spirit world or spirit realm, or when you go in that route, you don't know what you are calling to you. So you're just calling out into this vast void of energy, and you don't know what energy is going to come back to you. And that's one of the biggest ones, is that a lot of people say that evil, negative energies end up coming through, because those are the ones that are really waiting when you call
to be released.
Right.
Okay. So on that note, do you mind giving us a couple of examples of your experiences, even while investigating or not investigating, just personal experiences that may have, you know, really influenced?
Are you sure you want to do that, or you want to wait for other episodes? Sorry.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great note to go ahead and end this on. I would love to be able to interview you again, go over, you know, some more information, some more personal experiences, and maybe we can get into some of your investigations and, you know, what triggered things, what, you know, if you got results, if you didn't. And I really do appreciate you coming out tonight, Aubrey, and doing my first interview.
Yeah, I'll definitely come back and do this again.
Perfect. All right, everybody, that is Aubrey with RoboSaints Paranormal Dossier. They are on Facebook. They are on Twitter. They are on Instagram. Go check them out. Follow them. And hopefully we'll see some great spooky things from them. So I'm not sure if it was my demons that didn't want to play with him or his that didn't want to play with me. But I remember one night, I was sitting in bed watching TV, And next thing I know, I was completely out. And I can tell you exactly what he looked like. He was round. It was a shadow figure. It looked almost like tentacles, but there were hundreds of them. So I know it was more like a mist. But he had red eyes. Pointy teeth. And as quick as he came, he was gone. All of a sudden, like I said, he leaned in. He whispered, "Don't trust him." And as quick as he said it, he was gone. And when I came out of it, I was asleep, laying on the bed. And mere seconds had only gone by. Turned out, I shouldn't have trusted him.